Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight in Chinatown, Capital One Arena, 7:30 puck drop for season 2025-2026. The Caps hosting the Bruins. The NHL season actually got underway with a few games last night. The longtime voice, and we're talking about 30 years at least, of the Washington Capitals is our good friend Joe Beninati to help us kind of preview this upcoming season. Last year, obviously, a surprise season, 51-22-9, first in the Metropolitan. They won their first playoff series, beating Montreal since the Stanley Cup season. And of course, you know, much of the season was about Alex Ovechkin's goal-scoring chase. Let's start there. What do you expect from the guy that led the team in goals and potentially could have led the league in goals had he played all, you know, 82 last year? What do you expect in this age 40 season?
Kevin, he's still amazing in so many different ways, but, you know, this is season 21 for him, and I still see the kid-like joy that he approaches an opening day. It's not like it's something that's tiresome or that he would be jaded. He has the approach of a five-year-old youth hockey player getting out there and running around. That's just the way he approaches the game. He still has the love for it and that zeal to perform at the highest level. Now, for him, at age 40, I think the most important thing is to keep him healthy. I wish you could bubble wrap him, but you can't. But even in a situation last year where he had the largest in-season injury of his career, he was still able to produce enormous goal totals at age 39. At 40, I'm hoping for the same. When you look at it, you sit, there's no way he can do that again. I'm sorry, this is Alex Ovechkin. He does things that people don't expect.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think it's interesting how last year sort of was talked about before the year began, right? It was like, you know, he's going to chase this down and hopefully he'll get there, but it's probably going to happen in 2026 at some point, mm-hmm. you know, mid to late season, and then he's on this tear, and the team is playing well, and it was almost as if people focused more, Joe, on his goal chase, his record chase, than the fact that he was a big reason why the team had a surprising season.
Yeah, without a doubt. Things came together, and it wasn't just Alex's season and the great chase, et cetera, et cetera. It was more than just Alex's 44 goals that helped them run away with the East, run away with the Metro. It was a team that collectively, so many of them, achieved single-season best years all together, and that's what you hope can continue. I still see them as a team that's maturing. I see shrewd moves through the draft for the future. I see shrewd moves player personnel-wise to inject some more speed into the lineup starting tonight. I really like this team. I do. I just think there are a lot of squads, especially in the East, that are improving. And I think the best teams in the NHL probably reside out West. But there's no real reason why you could sit there and go, no, the Caps aren't going to do that again. They snuck up on everybody. Okay. I still think that they're collectively on paper better now than they were then. And this team really likes it, Kevin, when prognosticators and handicappers go, ah, now's the step back. The chase is over. They're going to relax. They're going to be a fringe playoff team. No, I don't think so. I don't see it that way. And when the guys hear that, when the players hear that, when this coaching staff hears that, it's fuel. It motivates them.
What did we learn last year about Spencer Carberry, who won the Jack Adams Award for the best coach last year? What did we learn about him as a coach? Not that he had a great season, obviously, but what did we learn about the kind of teams that he wants to produce?
2 years ago, when he arrived, Kevin, they wanted to play, and he wanted to play a tempo, a style of game that his horses couldn't do. He didn't have the speed to play the way he wanted to 2 years ago. He managed, and what he did was revise. So he revised another plan for last year, and look what it did and how it impacted so many players individually. His, I think, great ability is to meet with players one-on-one, isolate a role for them, and then with the help of his staff and the help of the team collectively, they help everybody fit together inside the role. There's no circle trying to be a square. If you have to be this player for this group to succeed, then let's itemize what your role is. Let's identify it. And I'm going to motivate you to be the best player X that you can be. And he just has a way of, and it's not just the way he deals with media. It's the way, more importantly, what happens behind those closed doors that influences everyone. But the media sees him as a very young coach. He's still, I believe, the second youngest. So his ability to relate to these players is very, very good. And they see just how much he brings to the table, not just X's and O's, but intensity and motivationally. And they want to play and succeed for him. And now in year three, I expect even better things. I really do. And Spencer is a fabulous coach. His staff doesn't get nearly enough credit that it deserves. But top to bottom, that's a really good group. And they have the ability to know what this particular group of players needs to be at their best. And what's the expression? They push those right buttons.
All right, let's talk about, the team. And I want to start with Ryan Leonard. Obviously, as a very young player being called up late in the year, there were some expectations. And by the way, I thought even in the games where he didn't produce a point, he looked like and seemed like he was on the verge of producing something. Where does he kind of fall in here on their, on their lines? Is he going to – how will that shake out? And what are you expecting from Ryan Leonard?
So here's the great thing about this club in particular, and I'm not saying that they didn't have this ability last year. I think they did. But when you inject Ryan Leonard in full time, when you put Hendrix LaPierre in, hopefully, at full time, Justin Sortif in full time, now you're giving Spencer and the staff, coaching staff, flexibility. So Leonard, to me, is going to start on the third line with Beauvillier and LaPierre, but at any given moment could play second line, could play first line, could be fourth line. Ryan's skill set, he plays the game with a sort of hell-bent for leather kind of approach. He's not 6'3", 235. He's right. Not one of those guys, but he plays bigger than he is. He reminds me in that regard of a TJ Oshie, who always played bigger than he was. He's not afraid to get his nose dirty. He sticks his head in and he sticks his body in along the boards with players who are much bigger and stronger. But he goes in with such a ferocity to it. It worries me sometimes because he does play on the edge and he does play fast. He's a well-conditioned, well-put-together athlete. He knows what his body can sustain. But I think it's interesting, Kevin, that you choose to start with him because he's a player you saw it in flashes and in brief instances last year. And to ask him to come from being the big star on the national stage at Boston College into the Stanley Cup playoffs, or inject him into Alex Ovechkin's great chase with only right. 3 or 4 or 5 goals left, that's a lot to ask from an expectation standpoint. They're still going to ask a lot from him. I think he's better suited for it now. I think he's more comfortable. And he's the type of player that, you know, has the not only the skill set, but the moxie and the confidence. There's a confidence, an air about him.
He
that
was
says,
fearless.
You know what?
He was
yeah,
fearless.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's got the pedigree, Kevin. I mean, this is a World Junior MVP. This is a National League champion type player going deep into the NCAA tournament. This is a player who's used to winning. And I like what I see from him. And I think the player, he's blended in nicely with this group of players. They still protect him. He's still the 20-year-old kid. But I think he's going to fit in very, very nicely with this group.
Talking, of course, to Joe B, Caps and Bruins tonight to open up the season. So what are we going to see goaltender-wise? Are we going to see Lindgren and Thompson split a lot of the games? Or will, you know, Thompson kind of take it and run with it this year as the primary goaltender?
I'm not going to put words in Scott Murray and Spencer Carberry's mouth, but I would guess with what Logan achieved and what he showed last year, he is the unquestioned number one, and Charlie Lindgren is okay with that. And Charlie Lindgren is the really nice foil to be the backup. So in a perfect world, you usually anticipate in an 82-game season sort of a two-thirds to one-third split when you have an ordained number one like Logan has become. And I just think the two of them give you the ability to win each and every night. There are a lot of teams that would be envious of this tandem. Now, is Logan going to be thought of like a Shesterkin or a Bobrovsky or a Vasilevsky, that kind of elite number one? No, but he's not far off of that. And he, to me, is the poster child of, you know what, you don't think I'm that good? I'll show you. You don't think I'm good enough for this international team or that NHL team or that Canadian college or junior team? Let me show you. At every level, this guy has bowed his back and played with that chip on the shoulder and said, I will show you that I'm better. And Now, Logan, you played great. You got this lucrative contract. Now you're going to relax. No. Watch. He's just that kind of competitive person, and I think the entire team feeds off of it.
If I tell you Strome leads the team in points, who's second?
Dubois. I really think Pierre-Luc Dubois is. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is a terrific two-way player. And for 4 months last year, Kevin, he was on the way to pushing Dylan to that top spot.
Right.
And I think in the last 2 months, and I need to check with Pierre-Luc directly, but in the last couple of months, and especially come playoff time, Pierre-Luc Dubois is a very sound two-way player, conscientious in the defensive zone, and I wouldn't be surprised if, and I'm again, this is just me making a guess, that, hey, I know you can contribute. We know we want you to contribute at the offensive end, but hey, do me a favor. We're playing Carolina. I need you to sit on Aho tonight. You're playing Montreal. I need you to sit on Suzuki tonight. You're playing against Edmonton. I need you to guard McDavid tonight. He focused so much on the defensive assignments in the second half of the season, and especially closer to playoff time, that it probably weakened his offensive output. When you watch him in training camp, I only think he played 2 or 3 preseason games tops, but he was flat out flying. And when he's right, to me, I think this is going to be the first year he gets 30 goals. He's been a high 20s guy for a while. He went crazy with assists last year. I expect him to push Dylan in that 1-2 total point race.
Tell me a little bit about the guy they traded for in June, sort of. Where does he fit in?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So at the beginning of camp, Kevin, there was something going on there. He was in a non-contact jersey. He was not himself. I've seen him feel better, get stronger, look quicker. Our scouts really speak highly of him. And these are the same pro scouts and amateur scouts who have been drafting incredibly well the last 2 or 3 years. I can't tell you how excited I am for 2 or 3 seasons out from now. The Caps are going to be a hulking. There's going to be there. Everybody on the team is going to be basically NBA small forward. They're huge and talented, but that's for a few years from now. This group identified Justin Sortif as a player who can play center, play wing, be aggressive on a forecheck, and be a real nice mix with those two bloodhounds, with Duhaime and Dowd on that fourth line. But again, he gives you the flexibility to play anywhere in the lineup. The thing that stood out to me as training camp went along and as preseason games went along, well, you know what? He's got good pace. I didn't see it at the beginning. He wasn't himself at the beginning. There was something ailing him. But at the end of camp, I saw that extra step. And that's the kind of quickness that bodes well forechecking-wise. When you're playing with Duhaime and Dowd, that's the kind of line that's miserable to play against. And sort of speed and quickness will help that. Not a big body, not a huge guy at all, but a guy who's not afraid, again, to stick his nose in.
Is there a player, Joe, that you kind of have a hunch is going to be a much bigger contributor than most people think right now?
I want to go on the defensive side. I know John Carlson and Jacob Chychrun are going to fuel the defense from offense's standpoint, but I have a feeling Rasmus Sandin is going to provide a bigger scoring year this year. I think he's in great condition. I watched him in a preseason game in New Jersey tearing up and down the ice like I hadn't seen before. So I think he's feeling well. He's in a good place from a conditioning standpoint. And I know he's got the mindset. He's got the acumen to be a more offensive-minded defenseman. Spencer is giving him a lot of credit for being a two-way sound defensive guy first. And again, when you're playing defense, that's your primary role. Not everybody can be Cale Makar threatening 30 goals on from the defensive blue line. And yes, Chychrun and Carlson are going to score, odds are, more than Rasmus. But I wouldn't be surprised if Rasmus picks up his offensive numbers and someone like Martin Ferravari also picks up his offensive numbers. Collectively, that group of six last year on defense was so high scoring for Washington, it really helped fuel their attack.
Interesting, because the next question was more about the goals they scored last year, and that is, if they end up having a repeat season, regular season, we know how the playoffs are, you know, a total crapshoot in that sport, but if they end up, you know, with 105, 110, 111 points like they did last year, is it because they end up being one of the highest, you know, one of the top two or three scoring teams in the league?
There are a lot of weapons on this team. There really are. And you know, you expect McMichael at age 24 to continue his blossoming career. This is a guy who scored in the mid-20s last year. Does it surprise you if he pushes it up over 30? Probably not. Will Protas stay at 30, or will he go further? To me, that was the most improved season I could imagine. There wasn't a player that was more improved in the entire NHL than Alexei Protas. Does that continue? Does Tom Wilson continue to be a low 30s, mid-30s type goal scorer? Does Ryan Leonard show you 20-plus goal potential as a 20-year-old? Now, when Ryan's 25, they're going to be expecting 10, 15 more than 20. Right. But where does he go this year? Hendrix LaPierre has come in, won a third-line center job. I know he can do it at the offensive end. He's got to be conscientious defensively or else he won't play, and he knows that. And again, now 23, 24 years of age, Hendricks is maturing. He's listened to all the lectures from the coaches. Spencer Carberry is constantly in his ear, and vice versa. Hendricks is going to the coaching staff. What can I do better? So good on him for earning the job. yeah, he was great in camp, phenomenal in preseason play, but now it's live bullets. This is real. Now he's got to show me why they invested a first-round pick in him and that he can stay in the lineup. And if he does, there's another guy with straight-line speed that will catch your eye. You'll see 29 go, ooh, wait a minute, that guy can really go. And the more of those guys you have in nowadays NHL, the better you're served.
All right, if it doesn't go well, what would be the reason that it doesn't go well?
Oh,
what's
boy.
The biggest concern?
I like this team.
Yeah, I
really do. I really like this team. Now, the biggest concern to me, lots of teams in the East are getting better.
Right.
The teams that you could sit there and go, Caps are going to be top eight for sure. Let's see how high we can get them into that top eight. All of a sudden, those bottom teams are coming along, and they've made player personnel moves that should make them better. To me, in the Metro, it's Washington, Carolina, Jersey, in any particular order. Carolina is terrific, and they added the player that Washington really wanted in the offseason from Winnipeg in Nikolaj Ehlers. It only makes an exceptionally fast team that much faster, because Ehlers, no pun intended, is a true jet. He would look beautiful on this squad. To me, if the special teams fail, this team's really good 5-on-5. I think if you keep it a 5-on-5 game, I favor the Caps most nights and against anybody. But if all of a sudden it becomes a power play shootout, or all of a sudden, you know, your penalty killing goes really sour, and I don't anticipate that, Scott Allen is too good of a PK coach to let that happen. Kirk Muller is too good of a power play coach to let the power play fall off. And Spencer Carberry is somebody who looks after the power play in conjunction with Kirk, and Spencer brings all of that Toronto power play background with him. If the special teams, if both special teams were to fall off dramatically, yeah, then they'd be in trouble. They would be.
Last one. You know, we talk about, and you and I talk about this every year before the postseason starts, that it tends to be a bit of a crapshoot. We've seen a lot of eight seeds. We've seen a lot of, you know, teams that had no business sort of winning a cup or competing for one late into the postseason do it. But in recent years, we've had Florida and Edmonton in back-to-back seasons. Florida has been in the Stanley Cup Finals three straight years. Why is Florida able to do that? Why are they able to sort of rise above the random nature sometimes of the postseason NHL, the NHL postseason?
Spectacularly well built, really put together, top to bottom. Go through the lineup, look down the middle, start down the middle. Now, if you're a Florida Panther hockey fan right now, you're a little bit concerned because of the early season injuries. You're missing two of your very, very best forwards in Matthew Tkachuk and Alexander Barkov. People do not know how good Barkov is. But that's a two-time Stanley Cup champion for a reason. They are loaded everywhere. And they're going to be good again. The problem is Barkov is so important to them. If they don't have Barkov at all, that's going to be troublesome. But if they had Barkov and Tkachuk for the majority of the season, I'm again going to pick them as the player, as the team that comes out of the East. They're that good. They're just well-built and at the right age. And, oh, by the way, incredibly well-coached by Paul Maurice. I could go on and on about that franchise. They've been really good. And I'll give you one that's going to maybe surprise, but people were going to say, geez, Joe, how can you call them a surprise? The squad that might be the one that comes out of the East is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, to me, this is the last chance for them to really the squad that, is not that far removed from Stanley Cup championships, not that far removed from playing deep into the postseason. Is this the last ride for Kucherov and Point and Hedman and Vasilevsky? You talk about their top end. Their top end is so good. And it's not like they're thin, but that's why I like Washington too, Kevin, because the depth of this team, I'm looking at the roster right now and how it lays out, the Caps are deep. That's why they're good. That's why they're a threat in the Metro. That's why they're a threat in the East. You can't just be, again, you're going to sit there and go, what about Edmonton? You can't just be super-duper top-line two of the best players in the world like Edmonton. That Edmonton team must be deeper than we give it credit for. that goalie must be better than I give him credit for each and every year. I say they can't win with him, and Skinner does just that. They get there. But to me, it's the teams that have quality depth. Washington is one of those. Carolina is definitely one of those. Florida is definitely one of those. There are signs, and to me, it's always down the middle. How well you play, and I think in so many sports, right? We can do that in so many different areas. You look down the middle, you look at the centers, you look at the goalies, and you sit there and go, wow, you know, they are at the upper echelon for a reason. I expect this Washington team to compete, and the best thing is not a lot of others do, which is really good because this group tends to use it as fuel.
Actually, one more. Is there a chance that Toronto, who ended up, you know, winning that division and losing that, you know, brutal seventh game against Florida in the second round, is their window closing? Are they ever going to get back to a Stanley Cup final? It seems like every spring, Toronto's in that position where their place is lit and people are expecting something and it doesn't happen.
So pressure-packed. That is the Yankee Stadium kind of pressure that they feel each and every year. The team is definitely talented, without question, and has those upper-end guns that we talk about. They're there. So much so that they even shred one. They sent one to Vegas. And to me, again, the best teams, Kevin, are in the West. Vegas, Colorado, Dallas. I could go on and on. Those teams are really darn good. But all of a sudden now, with the change in personnel, you look at them and you go, well, can Matthews Nyes be Mitch Marner? Well, he's a different type of player, but he's going to produce. He's a monster in size and speed. Marner was devilishly quick and fancy. And when you have an Austin Matthews, the question is, how healthy is Austin? When Austin's healthy, there aren't very many goal scorers on the planet who are better. William Nylander has the ability to break defenses down like few other players in the league. They have the upper echelon guys. Do you trust Stolarz in goal for Toronto? Do you think they have enough defensively? I think it's a veteran core on defense. It doesn't have a lot of standouts, but they can mask some of their defensive deficiencies, sometimes their goaltending deficiencies, with their scoring ability. They can, when they're right, they can light a scoreboard up. Can they get there? Yes. The East is so close and so competitive, and all of a sudden, right out of the gate, when everybody's ready to go, hey, Florida's going to be a three-peat team. Boom. Matthew Tkachuk for months. Boom. Barkov maybe for the entire season. Now that changes the story. And it only brings a lot of really good Eastern teams into the mix.
You guys don't have the call tonight, right? That's a national game on TNT.
No, unfortunately not. We have the weekend in New York, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday on Monumental, 7 o'clock against the Islanders, and then Sunday at 7 o'clock against the Rangers in New York for Joe and company's first two games. How's Locker doing?
He's doing great. He'll be with me for the pregame shows tonight and the red carpet shows that are also on Monumental Sports Network tonight. He's doing well. Literally, Kevin, he's on the tennis court right now.
Perfect. Want to see him out there just competing and very healthy. That's always great news.
He is healthy. He is healthy, and that's awesome.
All right. Be good. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for this.
Anytime you like. My pleasure.
Joe Beninati, everybody. Caps and Bruins tonight in the opener at Capital One. 7:30 puck drop. It's a national TV game, but you can hear the game on 106.7 The Fan, home for the Washington Capitals. All right, we'll do some NFL buy and sell next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.